say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want it to be.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo, and wow, do we have another great show. I am telling you what... Let me just ask you this question. Here's the question that we need to ask you, right? Do you feel stuck? Like, you feel like you just can't get out of your own way? Like, your career has just kind of, like, bound you up, you know? Does you feel like, oh, my gosh, I don't know. I don't feel like I have what it takes to go to the next level. Do you feel like you just aren't getting out of life what you thought you'd get out of it? Right? Question mark? Guess what? You could be limitless. Yeah, you can be. I'm with Peter G. Rupert. I'm just telling you, he's written a book here that, folks, if you're stuck, if you're confused, if you're afraid, if you are not sure, if you feel like everybody has put you down and you just can't make it, I'm just telling you, he's written a book to help you. Yes, it's called Limitless. 9 steps to launch your one extraordinary life. He is going to be awesome. I'm just telling you right now. Oh, and the book, it's a quick read, but it's got all these great things. Like, you got action steps, things that you can do. This is more than just a book. This is a workbook to change you. Oh, you're going to love Limitless. You're going to love Peter G. Rupert. He is absolutely fantastic. But let's do this. You know what we do every week, right? I walk you through the 4 areas of your life, right? Because here's the deal. We're physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual people, right? That's the truth, right? All those pieces together make up who we are. Right. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of special operations forces guys in here, you know, Navy SEALs and Delta Force and, you know, Green Berets, all these guys, right? They all said the same thing. You know, you got to be training every day. You got to be working all 4 of those areas every day, because here's the truth. If you're not growing in all 4 of those areas, you're not static. The truth is you're dying. And we want to be in a state of perpetual growth when it comes to the physical, the mental, and the emotional, and spiritual. So here's how it works. I'm going to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being miserable, 10 being outstanding, how is your growth or your training going in those 4 areas, right? We're going to start with the physical, right? So physically, everybody out there, let me ask you a question. Physically, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 miserable, 10 outstanding, how would you say your physical growth is? That is, are you exercising? How would you rate yourself on your exercise? Eating right, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, taking care of your body, because it's the only one you have. How would you rate yourselves out there, right? What's that number? By the way, it doesn't matter what the number is, right? If you're a 2, because you say, well, you know, I haven't been taking care of my body very well, that's okay, right? I'm not trying to get you from a 2 to a 10. I'm trying to get you to a 2 to a 2.5. I just want you to take a baby step in the right direction, all right? So whatever your physical number, that's your physical number. There's your first number. Second number is the mental number, right? My wife has said, don't be a mental loafer, right? Don't let things come at you. Be an active participant in your mental growth. What do we mean by mental growth? Well, one of the things that Peter says, and matter of fact, I will quote him. He says, read, read, read. And it's really true. Reading will help grow you mentally. But what are you reading to enhance your knowledge of what you do? Maybe of what you want to do. What do you know about the things that you want to do? Right? What are you learning to grow yourself in your relationships with others, right? Learning about how to be a better person. What about growing yourself? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say your mental training is going? All right? 2 numbers. Third number is the emotional number, right? What do we mean emotionally? Well, emotionally, what we're talking about here is, I simplify it down to 2 pieces, right? On a scale of 1 to 10. So part of that is, how well are you able to control your emotions under stress? Or being hungry? Or being tired? Or when things are coming at you and circumstances are pressing in on you? How well are you able to control your emotions? That's the first part. And then the second part is, how well are you able to really listen and understand the emotions of others? Can you really tap into what they're saying? Can you tap into what they're feeling? See, those 2 things combined, all right, those 2 things combined, that's the emotional piece. I want to know, how is your training going? By the way, you're in training every day emotionally, aren't you? You drive it down the road, somebody cuts you off, that's emotional training, right? Things aren't going well. right? How well are you able to maintain your emotions? Somebody wants one more thing. How well are you able to maintain your emotions? Right? How well are you able to listen to somebody's emotions? Do you got time? Do you take the time? What number would you give yourself? All right, so you got three numbers. Last number is spiritual number, right? A lot of people will say, I'm not spiritual. We are all spiritual. Remove the mental, the emotional, and the physical. Guess what's left? Spiritual. We all believe in something. We all have faith in something. When things go bad, we run to some God. We do. Whatever you run to, that's what you believe is going to help you. For some people, it is God. For some people, maybe it's nature. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's yourself. There's two questions that are involved, though. One is, how is it working? And two, how are you developing it? Right? Because if it's not working, you need to find something else. Right? So how would you say it's going? How's your training going in that area? Right? What do you need to change? What do you need to do different? So you got four numbers, right? Those four numbers, right? Physical, mental, emotional number. They're like the legs of a chair. If they're uneven, sit in an uneven chair over time, guess what happens? Your posture goes bad, right? And you're going to wind up being sore and it's just not going to work. It's hard to walk. But the other part of the problem is if they're all too low, right, what happens is it's really hard to sit at a table where you need to eat nourishment because you can't get there. So what we want to do is we want to bring up all four legs of your chair, and we want to do that all at the same time and get them to the right height. Speaking of someone who's got his chair at the right height and he's got all his legs working in the same place, his name's Peter G. Rupert. He is the founder and CEO of iEducation Group, which operates over 75 Fusion and Futures Academies for grades 6 through 12 in one student, one teacher classroom environments. 20-year veteran of the educational industry, he has opened over 100 schools and acquired more than 25 others. He's been president and CEO of organizations in the private school, charter school, and early education industries, and sat on his local public school board for 5 years. He lives in with his family in Grand Rapids, Michigan. His new book, of course, is Limitless, 9 Steps to Designing Your One Extraordinary Life. He's also an opinion columnist for CEO World Magazine. You can follow him on LinkedIn, find the book, Amazon bookstores near you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to A New Direction, Peter G. Rupert. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much, Jay. Pleasure being here and really excited to be with you.
Thank you. So love the book. It's fantastic. And I feel like we just need to dig into it. And I'm just going to start right at the introduction because you said a couple things that just really caught my eye right off the bat. And excuse me. One is you said, I hope this book communicates that each one of us is born, that each one of us understands that is born with a unique combination of talent, skills, and smarts that when put to concerted use can allow us to create the kind of limitless life we imagine. Every one of us has the potential to serve the world in our own unique way. I thought that was a beautiful way to open the book. And I would love it if you would just talk about why that's so important to you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the compliment. And it's foundational to what I believe and certainly what the book goes on to talk about, as we'll discuss here in a few minutes. But that idea that I think so many people, as they move from childhood into adolescence and then into adulthood, we start to get jaded. And people are telling us we're not good enough, or organizations or friends or family are telling us we're not good enough. And we start to believe it, and we start to think that, oh gosh, maybe I wasn't special. Maybe I don't have the abilities and skills to get to pursue those dreams I had when I was a kid. I think that's one of the saddest things that we think about as adults, is that we give up on those things we were so excited about at one point. Mm. And we don't give up all at once. We slowly chip away at our confidence and our belief in ourselves and our understanding that our talents may be different from others, but we still have a tremendous amount of talents. And so our key is, how do we find those? How do we recognize those? And how do we put them to work so that we can really build that limitless life that you mentioned?
I think there's something else here that kind of resonated with me, because my career, I had a late career change, you know, and it's still evolving. And, you know, we've interviewed, I think the person who wrote, Careers for Dummies, you know, and I've had somebody who's 70 years old who's reinventing himself talk about careers. One of the things I want listeners to understand, and I know you believe this too, because you said young or old, it doesn't matter. I really want people to understand that regardless of where you're at in your career, and no matter how old you are, we can always reinvent ourselves. And I think this book lends that to you. It's regardless of your age.
Absolutely. I think that's just so critically important. And for whatever reason, and we as an adult and our as adults in our society, so often we just kind of give up. We just kind of go through the motion, and we said, okay, this is the deck I've been the hand I've been dealt in my life, and we fear change in direction. And the book talks a lot about how to break free from those paradigms that are constraining us, and help us think that no matter how old we are, the opportunities are endless. We're still blessed with all these talents and skills, and the world is our oyster if we concertedly go after it and find a way to pursue those passions and those visions that we have for ourselves to really make our life different and powerful and unique that we wanted to set out to do originally. It's never too late.
So let's dig right into chapter one, win the battle in your head, because I think this is where it all starts, right? Because we have some bad programming that we may have had from our past. That's certainly part of it. But we have a tendency, and you talk about this, we have a tendency to kind of focus on our own negative self-talk rather than the positive self-talk. Let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is something that I learned later on when I was a kid and adolescent and young adult even. I used to think I was the only one who had self-doubts about my abilities or my potential or what have you. And it's just funny, as I started to study other successful people and analyze kind of how they thought and how they grew and succeeded, so much of it was about overcoming oftentimes these demons that are in our own head. And a lot of it can be related to our childhood or our early life when things didn't go right, and maybe we failed, or maybe we grew up in a family or a social situation where it was negative and we're always kind of beaten up emotionally as well as sometimes even physically. Mm. And so we just kind of lose confidence, we lose faith, and we allow that negative voice in our head. I talk a lot in that chapter about we all have this positive voice and this negative voice in our head. And the successful people I've studied and I've tried to model have been able to find a way to ensure that powerful positive voice in their head wins out more than the negative voice. And that's the key, because what I see is people who struggle, people who stagnate, they end up letting that dominant voice be the negative voice that says, hey, you're not good enough. I can't do this. Don't take the risk. You might fail. You might lose. And that's just no way to go through life. And when we can understand that that's how our mind works and help reframe things, everything opens up to all kinds of new possibilities.
I think it is so interesting, because I coach, executives, athletes, sales professionals. And I find it so interesting that one of the things that is just so critically inhibits them is this negative self-talk. And it is a very difficult thing for them to shut it down. And I'm sure in your research, just like mine, I'm sure you found the same thing. This is a really difficult problem for people.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's the first chapter in my book, because until you win with yourself, it's hard to go out and pursue all these other things. So it's foundational. It says, I have to win that conversation I have with myself every day. And I have to understand that no matter what's happened in my life, there is some negativity. We all have it. But I have to understand that I can control how that voice speaks to me. And I can find a way to let that positive voice blossom more often. And, I always think of it as a simple spreadsheet. If there's more positive voice talking to me than my negative voice, that's going to be helping me head in the right direction. But too often, we're so constrained by that negative voice, and we just want to back away, and we don't want to take any risk or take any chances, and certainly don't want to pursue our dreams.
So let's talk about your practical steps towards a positive mindset, because I think these are beautiful. I really do. Choose positivity. When you say that, what do you mean?
Yeah. I think that's just that's the first step. And it's like understanding that, okay, there's a positive and a negative voice, and I can choose negativity. And that's what most of us do, frankly. But the positivity says, okay, I have a choice. So the first thing I have to do is say, okay, I'm going to choose positivity.
Okay. Second one, list positive thoughts. List positive thoughts. What are you saying here, Peter?
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about this today, Jay, but I'm such a big believer in writing things down. I say list positive thoughts because I want people, and certainly learned this myself from studying others, is that when I want people to take the actual physical act of writing things down that are positive about themselves, their character, their traits, things they've accomplished, And no matter what, when we really put our mind to it, okay, let's forget all the negativity. Let's forget all the downsides of our life to date. But instead, let's think about all the great things that we've done and write all those out and get a long list as long as you can, because that helps drive that subconscious mind to say, you know what, there's a lot more there than you ever give yourself credit for.
All right. Learn the art of reframing.
Yeah, and this is an important one, because this is when you hear that negative voice talking to you in your head about, hey, I'm not good enough, or don't take a chance, or don't take a risk, or you're going to fail. It's about understanding, okay, now my negative voice is talking to me, and how do I reframe that? How do I take that that says, okay, oh, you failed at this before, so you shouldn't take a chance. And then you kind of say, you know, I did fail at this before, but if I do this, this, and this, I think I can change that result. And so it's all about taking those negative things that are in our life and rethinking and reframing those to turn those into something positive if we have some action around it.
All right. Number four, realize you are not alone.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, and that's the most important piece for me, is understanding that everybody, no matter how successful it is that a person has been, they are surrounded by negative thoughts. And it's just a matter of making sure, like I said, that positivity wins out more often. And I think what happens is, so often we see successful people and we immediately put them on a pedestal of some type. And we just assume they had all the skills, they had all the habits, they had all the luck, they had all the intelligence, that it was a straight line to the top for them. And we see them at that point where they're in their glory and they're having that success. And we think, oh my gosh, it wasn't that easy.
Right.
And it's just time after time after time, when you study with someone who's been successful, you hear about all the challenges and the frustration, the failures they've had. And that's what I encourage people to do, is go really study successful people and learn about all those challenges, because that's what you have to do, is overcome those.
All right. Number five, don't let the past define you.
Absolutely. I've spent a lot of time with younger folks, and you know, in our schools, the organization I run, we have schools around the country, and you hear a lot about this with adolescents, but also with adults. And so often we just say, well, this is the lot I've been dealt in life, or, you know, I've never been good at this, or, you know, my parents always abused me or whatever, or I was in negative social situations. And so we just kind of come to this conclusion that we're not good enough. And, you know, the reality is, again, studying successful people, so many of them had those early thoughts about themselves, but they didn't let it define them, because tomorrow is a new day. And when, no matter what's happened in the future, and you speak a lot about this, you talk about this as well, is that tomorrow is a new day and you can take a whole new direction. But just understanding that not letting the past define my future is so critically important.
Then finally, dwell on your daily victories. I think it's big.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites, and it's a habit that I've learned over time, again, from other successful people. But when you're going through change, when you're trying to work through that crucible of believing in yourself and stretching for goals and creating that limitless life, it's hard. It's a struggle. And so what I've always recommended to folks is keep a little journal by your bed, and at the end of every night, before you turn that light off and put your head on the pillow, I encourage people to write down three or four things that went well that day. And that ends the night on positivity, despite maybe some negative things happening today, but there's always some light in everyone's day. And when we write those down, we close our eyes, our last thought is of those positive things. The brain takes a hold of that, and for some reason that scientists can explain, and maybe not me as well, it allows us to constantly build on that, on those successes, and it starts to help us reframe and kind of get back to one of the earlier points, reframe our life and our future direction.
I think these are beautiful, honestly, Peter. I think these are a great start. And if people just, I think if people could incorporate half of them on a regular basis, they'd be further ahead. But certainly all of these are just so critical. It's choose positivity, list positive thoughts, learn the art of reframing, realize you're not alone, don't let the past define you, dwell on your daily victories. I think they're beautiful, and I think they're practical, and they're something that each one of us can do. They're fantastic. By the way, speaking of fantastic, so is this book, Limitless. You know what? 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. You're listening to Peter G. Rupert right here on A New Direction. Hey, everybody, listen, I have two outstanding sponsors here on the show, right? You'd hear me talking about them at probably ad nauseum. Epic Physical Therapy, whether you're recovering from an injury or surgery, suffering everyday aches and pains, having difficulty performing activities of daily living, maybe you're a professional athlete. And I do have professional athletes that listen to the show. Or you're just looking to improve how you feel. Listen, the elite team at Epic Physical Therapy will provide you with a customized treatment plan tailored to your individual needs. Here's the deal. They understand the need to treat the entire body as a functional whole, not just your symptoms or your injuries. So when you're ready for your epic relief and your epic recovery and your epic results, right, start at Epic Physical Therapy. Just go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. Also, Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for 35 years, they have been at the top of the game. Most companies don't even hang around for 30 years, all right? First of all, much less stay at the top of their game for 35 years. Well, Linda Kraft has done that, and she has passed that along to her team. She is absolutely outstanding. Why? It's because she understands that the relationship is the most important part of anything that she does. And so she built them, she maintained them, and she continues to grow them and nurture them over the course of time. Her first client still comes to see her today, right? It is part of the reason why her clients say she is a legend of customer service. So when you're ready to sell your home or buy your next home, regardless of where you are in the world, start with Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. You can learn more by going to lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Peter G. Rupert, his book, Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. Wow, I got tongue-tied there. Trust me, the book is a great read. There are action steps throughout the book. It's absolutely fantastic. I'm just telling you, this book is for all of you. Right. If you feel stuck, if you're ready for a career change, if you're ready for a life change, if you're ready to gather some success, if you're tired of hearing the same old voices and the same old things, this book is not just a book that you will read. It's an action book. It's a book that makes you take action. It's available at Amazon bookstores near you. So please check it out. Peter, let's go to chapter 2 because I love talking about this. I love talking about chapter 2, which is entitled Find and Follow Passion. I love talking about passion because, and you said it so beautifully. And the way you start this out is pinpointing your passion, because one of the things that I have noticed, and I know you have too, is that people are not even sure what they're passionate about. So how do we help them figure out what they may be passionate about? What might be some things that they can do?
Yeah, great question, Jay. And you know, the reason I call it Find and Follow a Passion for that chapter is I believe that people, there are lots of different passions that people can get excited about and enthused and pursue.
Yep.
And too often people think, well, my passion was I was an athlete or I was an actress in high school or whatever else, and that's the only thing I've ever been passionate about, and so that's what I want to pursue. Well, we all know that those are small little windows, and not everybody can do that. But I think we all do realize as we get off into the real world and we start to see some skills that we have, some talents, and I really encourage folks to uncover those and kind of see where do they get joy and where do they have talent and skills, and the combination of joy and talent and skills, how do they leverage those into their future career no matter what it is that they're pursuing? And by paying attention to those things, we start to inform ourselves of, hey, these are kind of things that may be exciting for me to spend my career on or to start a company in or to pursue a new direction in my life. And those things help inform various passions. And that's just critically important, because when we're pursuing something, when we're trying to create a limitless life or something extraordinary, we better be passionate about it and bring energy and enthusiasm, because otherwise it's just something that never will ultimately fizzle out because you're just not as committed.
I thought one of the things, and I wish I'd had this when I was younger, I really do, because I love some of the things that you say. You talk about pay attention to things that energize you. Notice how you feel about certain aspects of your job, right? What are the things that you enjoy doing? What do you love? What do you not want to do, right? Sometimes it's, right, I think one of the things that you point out here is sometimes it's being real clear about what it is you don't want to do, right? Which I think is important. Consider a skill or talent that comes to you easy. Consider what you already do just because you enjoy doing it. I think it's really important that we understand that we have some natural affinities for things that, because we're each given some natural skills, talents, abilities that come more naturally to us than others. And it's just really, really important. And regardless of our age, and I love what you said, you know, the truth is that what I'm passionate about, what I was passionate about when I was younger is not what I'm more passionate about as I was older. Matter of fact, I didn't even know I was passionate about podcasting. I had no idea. First of all, podcasting didn't exist when I graduated college. Okay. I mean, right. When I went to grad school, podcasting still did not exist. All right. After grad school, it was decades later when all of a sudden I go, man, I love this podcasting thing and this is going to be fun. I'm going to give it a try. And then I found that I have this amazing passion for this. And then because it fits so many things that I want to do, and I'm using myself as an example here, but I love to read, right? I just love to read, which is why I read every book. I love that. I want to help people, which is why, you know, I went to grad school to work on my master's and doctorate in psychology. I wanted to do that. And now I've combined them both together and I get to reach a world here. And that gives me a greater purpose because I know that, and you help fulfill that by being a guest on the show. So I want people to understand that this didn't exist for me, you know, 5 years ago. This wasn't even on my radar, right? And I think for you, what you talk about in this book is exactly that. It's not static. It is ever changing.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. And I think your example is a perfect one. And what I've seen so often, Jay, as I'm sure you've seen the same, is that I run into adults sometimes in their latter part of their career, and they chose a direction coming out of college and they were able to make a decent income and raise their family, but they never had any joy in their job. There was no joy in Mudville, you know?
Right.
And so they went through the motions and they worked all week long, basically living for the weekend or for their social things outside of work, and never had any joy or enthusiasm around it. And then they turn 55 or 60 or 65 or 70 and retire, and they talk about shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? And all the what ifs. And you just don't want to be in a position where you look back on your life and say, I spent my whole working career doing something that maybe the pay was okay, but I never enjoyed it. I never had enthusiasm for it. And that's just not unleashing our talents. And that's not the extraordinary life that any of us want. And so this is a way to help people think about that and think about finding that enthusiasm, that passion that really helped them drive to new and exciting things like you did.
Let's talk about picking a path in this chapter, right? You say start, number one, begin with the first step. What do you mean clarity starts with taking action? What do you mean by that?
Well, I've seen so many dreams rattle around in people's head. they rattle around as long as there's no action, right? And the first action is, other than writing things down, but just getting started, knowing that if it doesn't work out, it's okay, but you're never going to get anything done if you don't at least take that first step. And those steps can be small, but it helps you move toward a direction. And with each step, you get a little bit more clarity on, hey, am I heading in the right direction or am I not? And do I need to course correct? And just by getting started, we can get so much more clarity on whether this is a direction we want to pursue, because otherwise we just sit. And like I said, the dreams get replaced month to month as they rattle around in our head and fall out, and eventually they get replaced by something else. So that idea of just getting started can help so many people.
All right, number two, success brings opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you're a perfect example, just hearing your story right there about how you started, and everything kind of mushroom builds on itself. And I think that's a key thing, is when we have some early successes, all of a sudden opportunities are going to start to come to us from other areas that we don't even necessarily consider when we start our journey. So with each successful day, with each successful week or win or what have you, all of a sudden our minds get open and our world gets open to other opportunities as well that we may not even envision today, but they're going to come about. And by making those extra steps and moving down the path, we're going to be ready for them and be able to leverage them when they do come together.
Number three, opportunity can lead to finding a passion. I like this one.
Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, the opportunities is when you're thinking about opportunities and what might you be able to do, you start to see these opportunities and you say, oh my gosh, that's an exciting opportunity. That could be something that might get me jazzed up. And when those opportunities come about, we'll quickly get a sense for, not interested, or two, it'll intrigue us. And we start down that path and all of a sudden a whole new passion has come aboard, because we've had this opportunity that we started to look into.
I think the other thing that you say in this that really caught my eye was, don't worry about getting everything exactly right. I just wanted just to make a mention here real quick. I have to tell you, if people listened to my first few shows 3 years ago, oh my gosh, I was awful.
Right.
But you know, Kara Golden, who is CEO of Hint Water, she was on the show, and you know, she gave me a phrase that I think fits here perfectly. You know what? You have to build the plane while it's flying.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think that's part of this opportunity, is I think we try to get things exactly right. But I think what happens is ultimately we have to get to a place where we understand it doesn't have to be exactly right. We just have to do it.
Exactly right. Perfection is the enemy of progress, right? It's another great analogy.
You say that, yeah, beautiful.
You know, and I think that's the thing, is so often we're so worried about making sure that everything is right and it's all tidied up. We're starting something new, and by definition, something new is going to be full of, fraught with challenges and problems that we're going to face along the way. But progress is what you're looking for, right? Not perfection. Right. So by progressing every day, that'll give you the wherewithal to deal with the challenges and the problems when they come about. And that is where the joy and the enthusiasm is. It's that whole journey. It's not sitting at the starting line and say, you know what, if I step off course here, I'm going to be in trouble, so I'm not going to do it. Let's take our chances. Let's get started and let the chips fall where they may.
And then number four, leave room for growth and change.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing to all of us, right? Is that's that self-development gene that seems to come out when you're showing action, when you're making things and you're seeing some enthusiasm around. You have to have confidence in yourself that growth and change will come along with this. And you want to be flexible so that as you learn along your route, you can say, okay, I'm going to step back and I can do things a little bit differently to improve things and to help myself and ultimately move toward that limitless life, that extraordinary life that you're shooting for.
That's awesome. Now we're going to skip chapter three, which, by the way, everybody out there, chapter three is dream big, then make it bigger. It's a great chapter. I'm just skipping because I'm not going to give you the whole book, right? I don't want to give you the whole book, by the way. We want to give you some things that you can work on. Okay. So we're going to jump to chapter four because I think chapter four is really, really important. Find a champion. And you make it really clear that we all need champions. Talk to us about what a champion is and the importance of a champion.
Yeah. Well, this is some learning that I've had in my own life as I started out. And I think like many of us, you get out of college and you kind of think like, you know, it all right. The world's your oyster. You're just going to go crush the world. And why do I need mentors and champions in my life? And so I've had all the answers. And so as Mike Tyson said, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And getting punched in the face a few times helped me realize that maybe I don't have all the answers, and I'm going to need some help. And, you know, I think when you're chasing your dreams, when you're trying to build that extraordinary life and chasing your vision, if you try and do it by yourself, it's really, really tough because you're crafting a new journey. You're going a new way, and it's going to be fraught with challenges, like I mentioned earlier. So how do you prepare for that? You surround yourself with at least one, but oftentimes more than one. I recommend a lot of champions. Champions who are there not just to support and mentor you, but also to hold you a little bit accountable. Mm. And I really encourage folks as they reach out for champions. Sometimes they can be somebody 20 or 25 years older. Mm. Or they could be a buddy or two that has a common mindset about their future, common goals in their life. And you say, we're going to become an accountability group. So champions can come in lots of different ways. But what they provide is that endless mentorship and support. So you want to pick them wisely. Mm-hmm. And then also a little bit of accountability, because sometimes when we're pursuing a new path, we're chasing our dreams, we're going to have some challenges. And sometimes we need not just a hug, but a little kick in the pants occasionally too. And so the right kind of champion is going to allow it, will step up and do that when we need it.
I guess that's one of the things, you know, people will ask, you know, about mentors or, you know, people, you know, one question, of course, and I'll let you answer these. One question, of course, is, well, you know, how do I find them? And then secondly is, you know, are there certain traits that I should look for in a champion? Is there something more specific that I need? I mean, should they be doing what I'm doing? Should they just be successful? So I'm going to let you kind of deal with those, sort those questions out any way you want to, as you think about them. But so, you know, what are your thoughts? Like, how do we find them? And, you know, who should they be? I mean, a little bit more in detail.
Yeah, great question. And again, I'll go back to what I said a little bit ago, that perfection is the enemy of progress, right? So champions can come in many different forms. And if someone is starting a new business, for instance, in a new industry, finding maybe a mentor who's older, who has kind of been down that path and has similar experiences, so you can shorten that learning curve on your end. Those are fantastic. They're not always available. So maybe it just might be a really wise person, man or woman, somebody has a lot of respect for, who can step up and fulfill a lot of those roles for you. And like I said earlier, it could be a friend who's also, he or she has big goals about their future, and they want to work together to ensure that we're holding each other accountable and supporting one another along the way. And that's why I also really encourage folks not just to think about one champion, but it could be two or three or four, or it could be a peer group or what have you, where you can find the different components of what makes a great champion through different vehicles and different people out there.
I think, you know, one of the things you kind of talk about in this chapter that I think is really important, and we don't talk about it much in the business world very often, but the person's values become really critical here, don't they?
Oh, no doubt. I think that is job one, and finding people with like-minded values are really, really important, because at the end of the day, that's all we have, right? The who we are as a person, our character, that's the foundation of who we are. That's really what what's most important to all of us. And so you want those mentors who are going to help you when times are tough and make sure that your character comes through. And it certainly makes it a lot easier when you have a like-minded person with similar values and character.
Let's jump to chapter 5, the next chapter. Take the first steps. When you say take the first step, we talked about it just briefly, you know, I think in chapter 3, but take the first steps. What do you want us to do here?
We did talk about this earlier, and I think it's all about just getting started, because so often, and I was guilty of this myself, I think a lot of people are, that people talk about what they want to do and how next year they're going to do this, or every year we come up with our new year's resolutions and they last a couple of weeks and they fizzle out. And it's mostly because we're not getting started. We're not committed. And so I always mention to people that I'm mentoring or that I'm getting to know, say, okay, show me, you have these big dreams or this big vision for what you want to do with your life. I ask for two things. One is, where's it written down? Because I'm a big believer that when you write things down, that's the first step in kind of saying, okay, I'm committed. Secondly, I ask, who have you talked to about it? Because when we start talking to other people about it, it starts to become real to us. And we're taking a risk there by saying, hey, this is what we want. This is what I want to go do with my life. And then thirdly, what actions have you taken so far? Because even small actions are getting you down. And those small actions kind of build on itself and it starts to mushroom, and all of a sudden we can get a lot of momentum. But if you're doing those three things, you are pushing that forward. And I give high confidence that you'll indeed be able to create that extraordinary life and achieve your vision that you've laid out.
In this chapter, you bring up something that you actually talked about in the introduction, and that is, and it's a subheading, that's hard work beats talent over time. And I know that hard work is a really big issue for you, because you talk about it in your own story, you know, a couple times about working hard. I don't know. I think it's an easy thing for us to roll off the lips, but let's just give a little bit of time to hard work and talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, raising four kids who are now high school and then three of them beyond college. And it's a constant conversation I have with them, to the point where they're sick of me all the time talking about it. But I've really tried to drive home the point that work is what's most important. And whether it's sports or in school or in early career or whatever it might be, we see people, there are always people out there who are more talented than us. They have the natural skills or intelligence or athletic talent or musical talent or whatever it might be. And those folks are, we kind of assume that it's just going to be easy for them and they're going to keep going. Well, a lot of those folks with talent level off because they aren't willing to put in the hard work to continue to elevate that talent. And I've just seen time and time again that folks who are willing to put in the time and the hard work, that's what's going to be most important over time. They're both important, but if you put in the hard work, I think that trumps just having the natural talent time and time again. And we see it in all different parts of successful people's lives.
His name is Peter G. Rupert. The book is entitled Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, you know what? Listen, Epic Physical Therapy. They're my physical therapist, by the way. I'm just letting you know that. I love going to them. I love seeing Heidi and Andrew. They own Epic Physical Therapy. Their people are amazing. Look, they offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, things like the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill, the Normatec compression sleeves, the Game Ready, which I rave about because it's ice water and compression all at the same time, and it just takes the swelling out of your joints. That's just a few of the things they have. Look, they're trained and certified in the most comprehensive cutting-edge treatments available. They do blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling. They do cupping. They have it all. I'm just telling you, they have it all. It works. They get me going. I know I'm an old athlete, and some people question the athlete part, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? They get me back going and doing the things I want to do. So listen, when you're ready for your epic relief, epic recovery, and epic results, just start with Epic Physical Therapy. Go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for over 35 years, they have been serving the world. Yeah. So she's independently owned and operated. She doesn't belong to a national company. So she's developed relationships with the best professionals all over the world so that she can help you, regardless of where you're at, help you find the right real estate professional to sell your home or find your next home. So when you're ready to deal with someone who is actually not connected to this other outside network, but has actually developed relationships with other professionals because she can and finds the best, why not start with Linda Kraft and her team? It's really easy. You just go to lindakraft.com. It's LindaKraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction, and we're with Peter G. Rupert, this book, Limitless. Man, great book. And we're having a lot of fun, and he's doing so much to help you in getting yourself living that extraordinary life that you've always wanted to live. I'm going to talk about Chapter 6 just briefly, which is called Fail Often. And the beautiful thing about that, and by the way, I use this in my own personal life. When I was trying to revamp my career later in life, I looked at everybody who revamped their career late in life. And boy, it's still encouraging to me, right? When, I mean, you put down J.K. Rowling, Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Edison. But, you know, Colonel Sanders was 67 years old living in his car before, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, a lot of people forget that, you know. Julia Child was 50 years old when she started her TV show, you know, when they asked her to be on TV. I think one of the things that's so encouraging is that these people failed all along the way, but you know what? They hung in there and they made it happen. Talk about it, because the failing often, we don't like it, but it's really part of the process, isn't it?
It sure is. And I think too often in our society, there's this pressure put on all of us that failure is bad, that when we fail, it means we're not good. And so we jump to this conclusion that we don't want to fail because that's going to look bad on us and it'll lower people's opinion of us, et cetera, et cetera. When in reality, we all know that failure is the best teacher. And again, as I studied successful people during some of the down times of my life and my career, I was able to learn about, gosh, I see them on this pedestal, this huge success in whatever industry or walk of life they're in. And then you peel back the onion and you realize all the challenges and failures they had along the way. And when I failed in the past, it really, that learning helped me understand that, okay, this failure does not define me. And in fact, it's really informed my future and I've learned so much from it. And so if you're not, and so it just has been so beneficial that way. And the other thing about failure is, here's the reality. If you're not failing, that means you're not pushing your envelope in your own life. If you're staying within the boundaries and the bumpers, then you're not going to fail because you're not risking anything. You're not pushing your envelope. You're not kind of challenging your capability and trying to push the lid on your own potential. And so it's those who are stepping out and striving for excellence, striving for that extraordinary life and career. Those are the ones who are going to fail. But it should be reassuring because as long as you're not making dumb failures, right, those smart failures where you're learning along the way are the ones that are going to really matter and help you in the end.
I don't know who said it. Maybe you do, Peter, but somebody said, if you're not failing, you're not trying.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because it really is true. And you know what? You've taken risks, huge risks in your life, and they didn't pan out. And I have too, and it didn't work out, you know, and you know, that's the truth of the matter is it's not failure. It's like, okay, what did I learn and how can I do it differently? And what can I do to avoid that the next time? Right. I mean, that's,
right.
I mean, you know, I remember playing football in college and, you know, I was a defensive player and, you know, I remember our football coach in college would say, okay, when the play's going away from you, fold up and take an angle and find another angle that you can get there. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really important that, you know, we understand that. I just found that beautiful. But my favorite chapter of all in this book, Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life, is chapter 7. I love chapter 7. Be courageous. Boy, courage is so important if you want to live an extraordinary life, isn't it?
It sure is. And unfortunately, it's not prevalent enough. Again, I think that's part of the, going back to chapter 1, not winning the battle in our head, we question our own self-confidence and we think, gosh, if I'm courageous, I'm making principled decisions on what I think is right, not what other people think is right. I'm willing to stand up for myself and for my beliefs. And I'm willing to take those chances. And try new things. And courage is just such a great word because it brings out the best in us. And it's something that it's not natural in our social beings, but it's required, I think, in several different ways. The courage from standing up for what you believe in to being willing to take a chance and take a risk and try something and put yourself out there. And when you have courage, everything else becomes a lot easier.
I'm going to quote you on page 95. Courage is not about being fearless in the face of a scary situation. It is the willingness to move forward or take action despite your fear. It's about finding the will to bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be, even when getting there seems daunting. That's pretty beautiful, brother.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah.
I mean,
appreciate it.
I think the thing that when we think about courage, right, and I talked about earlier in the show that I've had the fortune of being able to interview guys who are Delta Force. I mean, you know, one guy was in Mogadishu during 4 Black Hawk Downs in an 18-hour firefight, and Command Sergeant Major Tom Satterly. I've been able to interview these amazing people, and they all have said the same thing. If you think courage is about not being afraid, you would be wrong. It's about what you do with the fear.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's the thing. The fear never goes away.
Right.
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 Fear, being willing to take action in the face of fear is what makes someone courageous, right? Because most people have the fear and so they won't take any action and they just go back into their shell. And if you're going to live an extraordinary life, if you're going to chase limitless, then it's about having the courage to even in the face of fear to do things. And you know, I talk a little bit about this as well, is that, you know, we're all the average of the 10 people we spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're breaking out, when you're going to go chase that limitless life, it means you might have to find new friends, new peers, new groups to hang around with. Because what happens is generally in our social network, people are going to talk you out of going to do something extraordinary because you're hanging around them because you're like them today. But if your goal is to be something different, you have to realize that even if they don't mean to it, they're going to talk about why you shouldn't do this or why you shouldn't chase this. And it's easier just to be safe and stay with us and stay like you are because we like you just as you are. But that courage to break free from that, to go chase that dream and realize you have to give up some things today in order to go get what you want tomorrow is really, really important.
Yeah, I think too, when it comes to courage, you know, it's the first chapter in the last book I wrote is called Sometimes You Just Have to Do Things Afraid. Right. And I think we just got to get people to understand that it's not about the fear. It's about you. I mean, because it's an action, you know, it's action that will, you know, will alter it, you know, not, and we let this emotion of what might be or what could be, or what if keeps us from being courageous. Right?
100%. Absolutely. And you know, at the end of the day, that chapter, I'm glad you like it so much because it's kind of this underlying theme in the book, right? It takes courage to say, okay, I got to win the battle in my head. It takes courage to say, I need to find and follow a passion. It takes courage to dream big and make it bigger. Mm. All those things. It takes courage to try out and fail and then get back up. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not that their fear is gone. No one's fearful. No one loses their fear because they're courageous. They just find a way to overcome it and will themselves through those tough times or those challenges or the new opportunities.
So let's help people gather some courage, shall we? Let's talk about some of the things that you have here in the book. And it's literally subtitled. It says, how can I develop courage? The first thing you say is practice. What do you mean practice? Practice?
Right.
Practice?
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think we know when we're not courageous. And so that's what I mean is by practicing, you start small and you start saying, okay, maybe I'm always giving in to the group direction in social situations, or maybe I'm not standing up for myself at work. Mm. And so you start kind of recognizing where the opportunities are for you to stand up and be a little bit courageous. And you have to start being a little bit courageous before you can become a lot of bit courageous.
Right.
And so I just encourage people to be aware of that and help train themselves to take some courageous action. Again, you're not getting rid of any kind of fear, but you're forcing yourself to move forward in with questions surrounding you.
All right. Next one, surround yourself with courageous people.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. And this kind of breaks, this is kind of what I mentioned a little bit earlier about the people you're hanging around with today. We're all the average of the people that we spend the most time with. And I know for me, the peer groups I've developed over time, I've just found myself attracted to those who had similar mindsets and were probably ahead of me in their own courageous journey. But I'd watch them and I'd watch how they made tough decisions or pursued tough, difficult tracks that most people might stay away from, and it encouraged me to model myself, to try and model them so that I too could do my best to try and exemplify and stand up to them in a way that I can be proud.
All right. Next, know what you value.
Yeah. So important, right? I mean, so often in today's world, you see people who are kind of rudderless, and you can't be courageous if you don't quite know what you stand for and what you value. And so I'd much rather strongly debate and discuss something with a person of a different value, as long as their values are internal and they're passionate about it. Then even if we have a disagreement, I have a lot of respect for that person versus someone who's just going to change with the wind and agree with whatever consensus is or a group is or what have you in that respect.
Well, let's do one more. Be self-accountable, because I'm going to read you a quote. You said, we are no way entitled to success in life. No one owes you a job or a better opportunity. Your destiny will be a result of what you do. And blaming your shortcomings on others isn't going to lead to success, on page 99. Let's talk about being self-accountable.
Well, this is the breakthrough that I think so many people have to go through, right? Because we all grow up and experience all kinds of different challenges. Some of us have much worse situations than certainly I ever had. And it's easy to kind of blame others, to blame the past, to blame the company, to blame the government, to blame society, to blame their culture. You know, we can blame all we want. But ultimately, we have to come to the conclusion that this is my life. And this is my future is going to be based on the decisions I make starting today. And so being self-accountable is this idea of, okay, despite what's happened to me, the world is what I'm going to make of it. And I can either live in the past and the negativity, or I can break through in a whole new limitless direction starting today and tomorrow.
We've been on an hour. It's gone so fast, man. I've really enjoyed this.
I have too. This has been fantastic, Jay. I can't thank you enough.
So the show's called A New Direction because we try to help people find a new direction, success, and leadership. If you could leave people with a new direction based on your book, Limitless, what would be a new direction you would leave them?
Well, you talked about this and you picked that up in the book, is that idea of getting started. I think whether it's my book or your books or a mentor or a champion or writing things down, it all starts with that action and that commitment to do something. Because most people will watch your show, your podcast, or listen to your radio show, and they'll just kind of hang up and they'll say, that was great. And you know, maybe I'll do that down the road, but they won't. Most people are just going to let it go and it's going to roll off of them like water. But there's a small minority of people who are going to make something happen. And that's what this book is written for, people who really are committed. And all the work you've done with A New Direction, it just is so inspiring for others. And but don't just listen, folks, act. And I think what Jay's talking about each and every week is really powerful stuff for all of us.
Folks, that's Peter G. Rupert and the book Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. Folks, you know what I tell you every week? You know what that is, right? You are in control of 2 things at all times, your attitude and your effort. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. Take control of them because you can do that. Didn't say it was easy, but you can. I'm going to be back next week with another great guest, another great book. It's going to be another great show. And as I say to you every week, shalom. New direction, a brand new day. A new direction, things are gonna change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come, your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength.